very quickly that even though the theme is Rosh Hashanah, you'll see the theme is also what we've been learning about in Lekut Amarim. Okay, but first a long introduction to what the point of Rosh Hashanah is. What's the point of Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah being the Rosh Hashanah, being the Rosh, has to have a hashpa on the limbs. So, in a certain sense, every day is influenced by Rosh Hashanah. If we view Tishrei as the starting point of the world, so that means Tishrei has to trickle down into all the other months. And sometimes we view Nisan as the starting point of the world. What's wrong? I don't think so. It's right here. Hamlachas Hashem Yisbarach b'chol makom. Okay, the title of the piece is being Mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, crowning Hashem as king in all places. If you ever had the schus to read any of Rav Soloveitchik's descriptions of how he became a chassid, sort of, the Rav describes as a kid growing up in Chaslavich and his Chabad Malamed, his Rebbe as a young boy, who was a Lubavitcher chassid, and the conversations that they had, and in particular, the way that this Malamed gave over to him a picture, and Chaslavich Bechlal, being a place where there are many Lubavitchers, what it meant to crown the king in Rosh Hashanah. Rav Soloveitchik lived with that in a very, very deep way. And that's why those who had the schus to see the Rav on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur said it was mamish, a different darga, a different madrega. And again, Rav Soloveitchik was already on a different madrega to begin with. But he had a very, very special connection to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to the crowning of the king, as we'll see in this piece. Because that's really what Rosh Hashanah is about. And that's what Chassidus teaches us, the secret and really the essence of Rosh Hashanah. But it's really, on a revealed level, it's also true. You don't have to delve into deep svarim to discover that the purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to crown Hashem as king. Of course, that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's obvious. Rosh Hashanah hu ayom ha-nivchar shebo mamlichem am Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu malcho sha'ol. And that itself is a big chiddush, that Rosh Hashanah is the day that we, basar v'dam, flesh and blood, the Jewish people, have the ability to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king of the world. Ki'ilu, he's not king if we don't acknowledge it. Sort of, a little bit. On the one hand, Adon Olam. Help me translate. Adon Olam. Adon Olam. Master of the world. Master of the world. Asher Malach. B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Hashem, you are the Melech who ruled before there were any people. So you don't need us to make you Melech. Before you created anything, you were the Melech. And after you create everything, guess what? You're still the Melech. But in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu partners with us to see, do my subjects accept me? Do people on planet Earth, do Klal Yisrael recognize me? Do they crown me? K'vishanira mikol sidrei ha'tfilah v'nuscha. If you go through the tfilos, that's the goal. That yes, that a Jew should be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the world in Rosh Hashanah. U'kadi'isa b'gamara Rosh Hashanah la'medal ramad beiz. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Imru lefanei Rosh Hashanah, turn the page, top of page 97. Imru lefanei Rosh Hashanah, malchios zichronos v'shofros. I want you to declare before me the three sections of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, malchios, zichronos, and shofros. Says the Gemara, what is the point of malchios? Very simple. Malchios, kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, that you should crown me upon you, that you should declare me as your melech. And of course, this is highlighted in the Malchus section of Musaf. However, the truth is, says Rav Yaakov Eshech, the whole day is really Malchus. In Musaf, it gets a special, we highlight it, Malchus, Zichronos, Shofros. But if I were to ask you in one word, what are we trying to do on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is, HaMelech! HaMelech, to declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu king. You can clap if you're breslov or not. To crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech of the world. That's the goal. As we say throughout the davening, Meloch al kol ha'olam, that Hashem, you should rule over the whole world, ve'od, 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 and many, many other examples. V'chein b'siyam ha'brach ha'emsayis shal gimol tfilos. And how do we end? What is the concluding bracha to the Shemona Esrei's throughout the course of the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah? The standard refrain, the standard conclusion to the bracha, whether it's Shachris or it's Ma'ariv or it's Mincha, is most likened unto Malchios. Because that's the theme for the whole day. Melech al kol haaretz. Yeah? Mikadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. Melech, Malchus. Make Hashem the king. V'chein imiskadesh achag miyad lachar tfilas arvis. Omer malpi minag svarit haperek l'Hashem haaretz umloa. And the minhag is that as soon as we enter into the Yom Tov, we declare, L'Hashem ha'aretz u'mala, you are the king of the world. You're the master of the universe, as is found in the writings of the Arizal. So this is the theme. The theme of Rosh Hashanah, we've learned today so far, in case it wasn't perfectly clear to us, the theme of Rosh Hashanah is being Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the world. Hugamo kein echad atam shemivim rabosein arishon b'sod tikiyas shofar. If I were to ask you what is the primary mitzvah of the day in addition to tefillah, you would say, of course, it's the sounding of the shofar. So now I'll ask you further. So what is the point of sounding the shofar? Why do we have such a mitzvah? Yom Trua. In fact, the holiday is called Yom Trua, a day of sounding because of the sounding of the shofar. Why do we blow shofar? Hu atam shu kedugmas hachtaras malkadara. The same way that at an inauguration, at the crowning of a king, Ba'ara, in this world, the trumpeters sound their trumpets, and the shofar is blown. Sheba'ez ha'achtara tokenu marian lefanav. That as the king comes to be crowned before the nation, there are tremendous shofros, there are trumpets, there are sounds. So too. K'mo shekasav Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, bein asara inyanim shel tkiyas shofar. When Rav Sadia Gaon tells us 10 reasons for blowing the shofar, Ha'inyan Harishon, the first message on Rosh Hashanah as to why God wants us to blow a horn, kind of strange. Not strange at all, says Rav Sadia Gaon. Hu mipnei sha'yom tchilas habria, shebo bara kadosh baruch es ha'olam, u'malach alav. This was the day God created the world. This was the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ruled over the world, declared himself melech. V'chein osam ha'malachim b'tchilas malchusam, shetokim lefneim b'chatzos osu v'kranos. That when a melech comes to power, they sound trumpets and horns before him. Lo dia ulashmiya b'chol makum tchilas malchuso, to declare throughout the lands, listen up, hear the sound of the shofar, let it resound in your ears and in your mind and in your heart, that I'm the melech. So that's why we blow shofar as well. V'chein anu mamlichem aleinu asabor yisbarach b'yom zeh. And since we are crowning the king on Rosh Hashanah, so what a fitting way to inaugurate the Malchus, to make it with the proper, ceremony, proper pomp and ceremony to make it a chashuv gathering, so we sound the shofar. Shemikol zeh muchach de'ikar inyano shel yom hu hamlachas Hashem yisbarach. So the tefillah reflects crowning Hashem king, the blowing of the shofar reflects crowning Hashem king. Let's go a little bit further. V'ha'af amnam sheklapei Hashem yisbarach hu yom adedina. So if you'll say, this sounds very new to me in terms of an attitude, how I should be feeling in Rosh Hashanah, I thought Rosh Hashanah is the day where I'm on trial. I thought the image of Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. This is a little bit of a secret to me. This is a little bit new to me. Shedan bo es kol ha'olam. This is the day that God judges the world. V'kulam ovrim lefanav k'bnei maron. And everyone passes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a sheep. Like the sheep who are passing, there's several opinions of what b'nei maron is, 3 opinions. Right, but we're passing before Hashem, single file. Aval klapeinu, that may be true from Hashem's perspective. Yes, Hashem may be dan es ha'olam, he's judging the world. But klape am Yisrael hu yom shal hamlacha. But our perspective has to be, not so much the fear of the trial, but again, crowning Hashem as king. Shemamlicha mechadash es ha'kadosh baruch hu al kol ha'olam. That we are choosing, once again, to make Hashem king. He points out in parentheses the Vilna Gaon's explanation of Melech versus Moshe. What's the difference between a Melech and a Moshe? You got to know this Gra, it's a famous Gra. What's the difference, says the Vilna Gaon, between a Melech and a Moshe? The Vilna Gaon explains in his commentary on Mishlei, Shahevdel ben Melech leMoshe hu, SheMoshe mora al haMamshala bitokev uvekfia. Moshe is a dictator. Moshe is Cuba. Moshe is Iran. Moshe is North Korea. Moshe is you don't have rights, and I'm going to force you to pretend that you choose me. We'll also have the big parades with the trumpets and whatnot, but everyone knows the whole thing is a sham. You're being forced to be subservient to my Malchus, Moshe. That's a ruler who rules by force. A melech is someone who the people have chosen. We think of the melech being so dominant. Yes, the melech has a lot of power. But there's an understanding that the people have accepted the melech. People want a melech. Think back to some of the psukim, when Klal Yisrael at first in Sefer Shmuel, contemplating the concept of a melech. That we want a melech like all the other nations. To want a melech. Melech is something you choose. So in Rosh Hashanah, we're choosing to be melech. We're not just saying, by default, since God made us, we're forced to be subservient to Him and He runs the world. That is true also. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries and wants to be a melech upon Klal Yisrael. By the Goyim, it says, he's Moshel Bagoyim. Hashem is Moshel Bagoyim, because they don't recognize Him, so He has to rule them by force. But the Jewish people, the Jewish neshamas, come to Rosh Hashanah and say, Hashem, we choose You. And by choosing Hashem, hopefully we'll be Zocha Badin. Yes, Nisan. Tokef means with strength, and Kfiya means by force. Right? Like Kofa Alayim Harkigigis. Or Kofa No Soat Shiyom Arotzani. Kofa Kfiya means to force someone to do something. Okay? Thank you for asking. I like when people ask, that means it's the clearest proof to me that you're following along. So that's good. Yeah?
So when we say Kila Hashem Melucha, are we saying that we're choosing?
We have crowned Him. That's right. That's right. That's the image that Rav Soloveitchik described as a kid that his Chabad Malamed. Rav Baruch Reisberg was his name. Trying to pull out his name. Baruch Reisberg was his name. That was the Rav's first Rebbe. In a certain sense. Right? Even more so than his father and Rav Chaim, Soloveitchik, his grandfather. The Rav's first major spiritual influence in his life was this Rav Baruch Reisberg, who was a Lubavitcher Chassid. And he described for the boys, as young boys, he described for them before Rosh Hashanah, picture, as the Pasuk says, a king in chains, a king in captivity. And it's up to the people to save their king. That's the image we have to have going to Rosh Hashanah. Hashem wants to be the Melech. He deserves to be the Melech. I'm not denying that fact. And it's our job to set him free and to crown him. The coronatia that the Rav used to describe. Right? The coronation, the crowning. The crowning of the king. Yeah? The crowning of the king. What a majestic image of us choosing Hashem as Melech. Right? That's not Moshe, that's Melech. Okay, as he says here, "V'zos anu osim Rosh Hashanah, mikabel malinu malchus Hashem yisbarach ba'ahava uveratzon." To want to declare Hashem as king. Okay, so again, this is all just an overview of what Rosh Hashanah is. Now, again, what does any of this have to do with what we've been learning in the beautiful Sefer Lakad Amar? We're going to cross Amir Hashem, the 100-page mark. It's gavaldik simcha for us. Iker tachlis b'riyas olam. 2 lines from the bottom of page 97. The main purpose of the world is Hamlachas Hashem Yisbarach, is to crown Hashem King. V'hinei, Tchilas HaBriya Haisa B'chaf Hei Be'elul. Now let's just get the facts down. When was the world created? The 25th of Elul is day 1 of creation. The 26th of Elul is day 2 of creation. The 27th of Elul is day 3 of creation. The 28th of Elul is day 4 of creation. 29th of Elul is day 5 of creation. And the 1st of Tishrei is the 6th day of creation. So when we talk about Rosh Hashanah as being the day that the world was created, it means the day that man was created. The world began on a couple days before, on Chaf Elul. But when we get to the man who has the ability to crown Hashem as king, that is Aleph Tishrei. That is Rosh Hashanah. As it says in Pirkei Dei Rabbi Eliezer, which is an early midrashic work, the 25th of Elul was day 1 of creation. Rosh Hashanah shalanu hu biyom hashishi lebriya. What we call Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, that is the 6th day of creation, shebo nivra Adam arishon, on the day that Adam arishon was created. Please turn the page. V'him lichbo bayom esakadosh baruch hu, and on that very day, Adam immediately recognized Hashem as king. As it says in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer in Parakut Aleph, Sha'amar lahabruim bo anu va'atem neilech v'nal bishgeyus va'oz v'nam lechas misha baranu. Lefisha'am mamlichem es ha'melech. It is our job, Adam Rishon, turn to all the animals, to all the creatures, At this point, Adam Rishon was still figuring out who his wife was, who his spouse was. He saw himself in some ways as equal to animals at that point in history. Very interesting idea. And Adam Rishon turned to the Bria. Again, whether they were his equals or not. Adam turned to the Bria. He turned to all the animals. And he said, come, let us go and crown Hashem as king, because it's up to us, the people, to say, long live the king, to declare the Melech, to crown the king. V'chein muva b'tikunim. That's what we find in Tikun Nun Vav, the Tikune Zohar. Amar Adam Arishon, you recognize this phrase? Bo nishtachave v'nichra v'nivrcha lefnei Hashem oseinu. Sound familiar? Bo, how about Friday night? Right? Tehillim chapter 95. L'chun aranam al Hashem nareel etzor yesheinu. A couple of psukim after that. Bo nishtachave v'nichra v'nivrcha lefnei Hashem oseinu. Come, let us go and submit ourselves and sing praises before the one who made us. This was Adam HaRishon's Kapitel Tehillim. We know that Tehillim wasn't only written by David HaMelech. Some of the Prakim of Tehillim were originally written by those who came before David HaMelech, such as Adam HaRishon. So chapter 95 of Tehillim, with which we begin Kabbalah Shabbos each week, was written by Adam HaRishon. As Adam HaRishon turned to all of creation and said, come, Bo, let us go. Let's submit ourselves before the king. Let's recognize our Creator. And therefore, what do we say on Rosh Hashanah? Today is the day where you began creation. Began creation? You began creation 5 days ago. Today's the sixth day of creation. No. Today, on the day that man, with rational thought, exists and can crown Hashem as king, today is when creation really began. Creation didn't begin when Hashem made stars or grass or water or light and darkness. Creation begins when there's a basar v'dam, a human being who's able to recognize the Melech. Zeh hayom, today, Aleph Tishrei, the sixth day of creation, the day of creation of man. Tchilas ma'asecha, this is the beginning of creation. Hagam shekaamor tchilas habriya mamish ha'isim ha'fei be'elo. Even though, as we mentioned before, that the creation mamish began on the 25th of Elul. Right? Elul is the month before Tishrei. But we say that Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, is Tchilas Ma'asecha. Ki Iker Chashivus Habriya, maybe underline this line, Ki Iker Chashivus Habriya, Nasiso Al Yedei She'odem HaRisho Notzer, V'him Lechatz Hashem Yisbarach. There's nothing to talk about. The world has not yet been invested with purpose and a mission statement. Until there's an Adam who exists, who's been created, Notzer, who's been created, v'him lechaz Hashem Yisbarach, and recognizes God. That's why Hashem made the world, that there should be an Am to recognize Him. Again, we have to live a little bit with the paradox. What was the paradox? The paradox is, Adon Olam Hashem Malach B'Terem Kol Yetzir Nivra. You were the Melech before there was any people. That's one track of reality. Hashem doesn't need us at all to be the Melech. The other track of reality is what Chazal say in a Talmudic dictum: there is no king without a people, right? That can leis melech below am. There can be no king without an am. There isn't. What are you ruling over if there's no people? Again, Hashem can still be the melech even if we don't exist. How that works? Very deep mystery. But from our perspective, we have to see it that Hashem made us because He wants to have a people. Not just that he should be a Moshel, but he should be a Melech. That we should be able to choose him. Uke'ein masha amru chazal, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Tzadites, kol ha-malamid es ben chaveru Torah, ma'ala lav akasav ki'ilu aso. Anyone who teaches ben chaveru, his friend's son, Torah, it's as if you created him. Right? I'm like a father figure to all of you. Why? Because I teach you Torah. Because we learn Torah together. You teach your friend's son, your fellow Jew's son, Torah, so you become a partner in the creation of that child. Or as the Gemara says earlier in Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Tes, Kiilu Yelado, as if you gave birth to that person. Uve Medrash, now why is he bringing these Mamari Chazal? You'll see in a second. Uve Medrash Yir Ashirim Kol Amachnes Bria Achas Latoch Kanfei Ashchina Malin Alav Kiilu Hu Baro V'Yatzo V'Rikma. Anyone who brings another Jew Tachas Kanfei Ashchina, you do a little Jewish outreach, you inspire another Jew to want to see himself as part of the divine mission. So guess what happens? We treat it as if you created that person, as if you molded that person, as if you defined and shaped and designed that person, decorated that person. Vagam shahorav holidu. And even though, of course, your parents were responsible for your biological birth, afalpichein lo nechshav lemolido elizesh hichmas bodas. But the true one who gives birth to you, who creates you, who molds you, defines you, shapes you, is the one, are your influences. Who programs you? Yes, your parents gave you the physical body. But who have you chosen to be your programmer? Who are your influences? Who put the ideas of how you see reality in your heart and in your mind? Is it the world? Is it the internet? Is it your rebbeim? Is it your friends? Is it your parents? Is it your community? Is it the time period in history in which you live? There's a lot of different influences that we have. Now, what is all of this telling us? You know what it's telling us? That a world that simply exists with birds and trees and flowers and bees, like a Dr. Seuss mood, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Those are creatures that don't think and don't choose. Kumosha ein chashivas lo ladasam esaben, kishu kli reik below Torah. Just like the child when he's born or she is born, as big of a simcha as it is, essentially it's an empty vessel. They don't yet understand anything. Kein lo nechsheves tchilas habriya, rak bebriya sa'adam hamamlich hazabori al habriya. So too, the world, as beautiful as it was on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, was more or less an empty kli. How could you call Hashem's magnificent world an empty kli? The answer is, because until there's someone to charge the world with a mission statement, for Adam to turn to the animals and say, come on, let's go, be mamlech lemelech. Until Adam does that, the world is a shell of what it could be and what it should be. So therefore, l'chein nikra b'Rosh Hashanah t'chilas masach. So therefore, when Adam, the Jewish people, declare Hashem king on Rosh Hashanah, right, we are carrying out the mission statement of creation. And that's why Zeh Hayom, yes, this very day, Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, day 6 of creation, is Tchilas Maasecha. Okay? A little bit more by way of Hakdama, and then we'll see why Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is giving us this whole, again, this is a very important piece. But we happen to be in Chodesh Iyar now. So what does any of this have to do with us right now? You'll see. V'isa b'gavar Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin. K'man matzlinan ha'idna zeh yom Tchilas Maasecha. According to who? According to which Tana, according to which opinion, do we say on Rosh Hashanah Zeh Yom Tchilas Maasecha? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, Da Amar B'Tishrei Nivra HaOlam. Yet Rabbi Yeshua holds that a Nisan the world was created. When we say Zeh Yom Tchilas Maasecha, today is the first day of creation, what else do we say in Rosh Hashanah Davening? Hayom Haras Olam. So that's also, that's Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Tosos, I remind you again, Tosos over there, on this daf that he's quoting, Rosh Hashanah Chav Zayin, quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chai. Rosh Hashanah, is it Tishrei, is it Nisan? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, they're both true. The idea of creation versus the actual creation. So they're both true. But we look at, when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, if I stopped you, I woke up in the middle of the night, I said, when's Rosh Hashanah? You'd say Aleph Tishrei. You wouldn't say Nisan. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. But who do we follow, says the Gemara, when we say in Tishrei, which is the seventh month, right? Tishrei is the seventh month of the calendar. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei. Zeh Hayom, Tchilas Maasecha. Whose view is that? This is the beginning of creation. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Visham b'marisha, Isa the Marisha explains, V'kvar kasavnu de b'pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Mefuresh de Tchilas Habriya b'yom Rishon, L'mais Abreshus Hayi b'chaf Hei b'elol. As we've already said, the Marisha clarifies in that Gemara, based on the Medrash that we quoted earlier, that really the 25th of Elul is when creation begins. Uviyom vav nivra ha'adam. But look what he writes where it's bolted. Val shem zeh nikra Rosh Hashanah tchilas ma'asecha. So why is Aleph Tishrei, day 6 of creation, why is that called tchilas ma'asecha? She'adam haya tachlis shokol habriya. Because the purpose of creation, you should go see beautiful places in the world. You know why? You know why it's good to see beautiful places in the world? Why should you travel to see beautiful places in the world? So I'll give you three layers of explanation. Right? You could say, it's pretty, I like it, I don't know, it's nice to look at. It's for my own pleasure. I get pleasure from it. That's obviously the lowest reason to see the world. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But if you're doing it just because you enjoy seeing the world, out of your own curiosity, right, or you like the feeling of looking at something beautiful, which is a normal human response to beauty, so that's the lowest level. What's a higher level? Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch at the Alps, right? Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch saying to Hashem at the end of his life, Rabbono Shalom, I saw your Alps. I don't want to have a conversation with God when God says, you never saw my Alps? You never traveled to see the beautiful mountain ranges? You didn't stop? You didn't pick your head up from the Gemara once in a while to look at the wondrous creations that I have? Yerushalmi at the end of Masechet Kedushin. Yerushalmi at the Kedushin tells of some of our sages who would save up money all year to buy exotic fruits. And when criticized by their contemporaries, Reb Lazer said, Yerushalmi quotes Reb Lazer, Bavli we call him Reb Lazar, Yerushalmi they call him Reb Lazer. Reb Lazer said, how could I not enjoy all the different fruits in the world, in the marketplace? One day I'm going to have to give an accounting for my actions. Hashem's going to say, I made mangoes and papayas and starfruit, all these cool things. You never tried them. You never allowed yourself to enjoy them. With a bracha, of course. Kosher. Yeah? So, level two would be, Hashem, I'm seeing your world, I'm engaging your world, I'm enjoying your world. Why? Why? Because it's part of Avodas Hashem. To appreciate and to be thankful and to recognize you through the world. I'll tell you what I think is an even higher level. You know what's maybe even a higher level? You argue is maybe a higher level. You know, I want to see the world. I want to see such magnificence, such breathtaking, awe-inspiring beauty. To then be able to look at all of that and say, as big as you are, as beautiful as you are, as powerful as you are, whatever it is that I'm looking at, whether it's creatures in the jungle, or whether it's magnificent mountaintops, or the aesthetic beauty of a tropical fish, to be able to look at all of that and say, all of you are nothing compared to me. To be able to understand my mission statement in the world. To look at something that seems so much bigger or more beautiful or more refined or more perfected, yeah, than me. And then to remind myself that Zeh Yom Tchilas Ma'asecha. To think about this Marsha and Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Sha'odom Hayatachlis Shakol Habriya. It's nice, no? Daniel, you like that pshat? To look at everything in the world, say, wow, this is awesome. But guess what? On my worst day, I'm more awesome than this. I'm bigger than this. I'm better than this. I'm greater than this. I'm more chashuv than this. I have a sefer at home by a tzaddik who passed away at a young age. Very unique individual. Big Talmud Chacham. The sefer is called B'ikvos Hayira. And he describes that when he was learning in Slobodka, he brings an essay from the Altar of Slobodka. It's one of my favorite images in the world. He describes the image. This Altar of Slobodka painted an image for the Talmidim in Slobodka. Rav Nosson Zvi Finkelzatzal, the Altar of Slobodka. It's such a beautiful image to meditate upon. It's a beautiful image to do, to practice. Especially if you're in like a nice, quiet, you know, field, country setting. Somewhere in a camp in upstate New York or something. Or some part of, all the more beautiful, some part of Eretz Yisrael. Where there's lush greenery. And to walk through a field and think about the fact that the Gemara says that on every blade of grass, there's a malach that hovers over it, and what does it do? It strikes the blade of grass, telling it to grow. Hashem assigns a malach to every blade of grass. And that malach watches over that little blade of grass, or that leaf on the tree, and tells it to grow. It strikes it. According to one opinion, that word of striking really means it illuminates it, and it tells it to grow. It tells it to grow. So the Altar of Slobodka painted a picture. This would have been good for Motzei Shabbos this year. Man's ability to be greater than angels. Imagine, so now picture yourself. A man wakes up in the morning. Moda'ani lefanecha. Yeah? He picks up his talis and tefillin. He gets dressed. He picks up his talis and tefillin. He's on his way to Davin. And on his way to Davin, he's walking through this field. To get to the other side of the field, where his little shtibel is, where he davens every morning with his fellow Jews. And as he's walking through the field, trampling the grass, stepping on the heads of angels, right? Malach hovering over every blade of grass. Right? Says the Alter of Slobodka, that image is, yes, if you know who you are, you don't have to feel, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. Yes, man walks through that field of grass. Picture that. Picture just a beautiful, lush, a perfectly crisp, clear day. A huge field of lush grass. And a Jew, who maybe even did aveiros the night before, wakes up in the morning and walks and tramples his way through that field. Not because he's intentionally ripping up the grass with his cleats, just because he's walking. And he steps down on blades of grass, crushing, trampling malachim beneath his feet. And it's perfectly justified. You know why? Because you're much better than a malach. You're better than everything in the world. And that's why we look out the window, we see beautiful things, we say, hold on a second, you might be beautiful, but I'm even more beautiful. Because Hashem gave me a neshama. Hashem didn't give you the neshama that I have. Elokai, neshama shenesata b'tahorahi. So says the Maharishal, let's read back inside where it's bolded. Underline it, it's beautiful words. Sha'adam hayo tachlis shakol abriya. Man is the pinnacle. Man is the whole point of creation. Uki ilulo nivra shum davar kodem briya sa'adam. And what was the world before there was Adam Rishon? There was nothing. What do you mean there was nothing? It was a magnificent, beautiful, beautiful world. Wonders of creation. That the Rambam writes, you could study them and come to belief in God. What do you mean there's nothing? But if there's no Adam HaRishon, if there's no man, if there's no thinking, speaking human being who's able to what? To say HaMelech, to scream HaMelech, then there's nothing. And therefore, Nikra Shoshana Tchilas Ma'asecha. Sha'adam Hu Ikar Hamaisim. Because man is the pinnacle of creation. Three lines from the bottom. V'chein Isa B'gamar Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph. Bashishi Mahayu Omer. What do we say on the sixth day? Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. Al Shem Shegamar Malachto U'malach Alayim. Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. We say it on Friday because that the sixth day. That was the day that Hashem completed his creation. Namely, he made man. U'malach Alayim. And God became Melech. Not by force, but because Adam Rishon, almost as soon as he was born, said, let's go out and declare Hashem king. V'hainu al-yidei Adam HaRishon. He concludes the page. Look in the Eitz Chaim of the Arizal. Turn the page. Odos ha-tikunim ha-neflam sh'asav Adam HaRishon lefnei achin. You can read in the Eitz Chaim the wondrous things that Adam HaRishon did in that short period before he sinned with the Eitz Hadas. V'chein b'shar mitzvos parshas bahar. V'achar sh'nivar Adam HaRishon v'asav ma'isim tovim v'ayidei tfilosav. Okay, look, you can see Adam HaRishon was a gadol hador. Was a big tzaddik. But a very clear sense and understanding of his place in the world. Go on Rosh Hashanah, we have a festive meal on Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting, no? Usually when you have a court case, you're not so in the mood to sit down to a big meal. You're too anxious. Rosh Hashanah, we sit down. L'chu ichlu mashmanim u'shesu mamtakim. Ki kadosh hayom ladoneinu va'al te'atzvu. Don't be sad. Because by celebrating with Hashem, that is your strength, that is your salvation. And this pasuk in Nehemiah chapter 8 was on Rosh Hashanah, as the pasuk says a couple of psukim earlier. Biyom echad l'chodesh hashvi. Rashi says, Yom echad l'chodesh hashvi. I count with you again. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei. But Yom echad l'chodesh hashvi means what? It means Rosh Hashanah. So what's this festive meal that they're being encouraged to eat on Rosh Hashanah? It's a scary day. No. Hainu she'iz hiram al simcha atzuma nefla she'zachul yosava Hashem lam licho liachto b'zeh hayom. What a celebration it is for us to be. The tzava Hashem, the tzivos Hashem. To be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's army. To be a Kadosh Baruch Hu's legions. To be the ones who stop to recognize that Hashem is the king. And we celebrate that. When the king gets crowned, we blow the shofar. There's celebrations in the street. There's markets and fairs that are open. People are giving out food and drink, a celebration, showing how much we love the king. Long live the king. V'lachein anu oskim Rosh Hashanah. Sorry, ein oskim Rosh Hashanah b'viduyim al chatan. If Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, where's the ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, dibarnu, dofi? Where is that? Where is it? Why is that only on Yom Kippur? The answer is, because it's a happy day, Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is also a happy day. See, if they ask the question again, why Hashem the Begad Nugazal on Yom Kippur? But we're not Osek with Vidoy on Chatayim on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Ki Am Tokas Adin Hu Kafi Shleimas Ham Locha Vached Vabashem Uzeinu. Because the way that we sweeten the din is not by saying, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. The way that we sweeten the din on Rosh Hashanah is by celebrating the king. It's by rededicating ourselves many times over to crowning the king. We're gonna blow the shofar with feelings of joy, not only feelings of trepidation, not only fear. We're excited to be mamlich the king. This is the purpose of creation. So, chaver, this is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And now, we're getting that much closer to finally understanding what does this have to do with everything we've been learning in Lekut Amar. So, two more paragraphs, and we'll be there. Okay, we're only going to go up to the top of page Kuf today. You see, if you turn the page, you see where it says Sod Chodesh El, that's where we're going to stop. Okay? So this is the final stretch. We put in a lot of time to get to this point. So let's finish strong and understand why Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter is telling us, again, a crash course in Rosh Hashanah. It's gewaltig. No? You have feelings for Rosh Hashanah right now. You're like ready to go to shul tonight for Rosh Hashanah. There's a maisa that one time, I think it was the Divrei Chaim, was speaking at a bris. It may have been the Rav Shitzer. I don't know if it was the Rebbe or the Talmud. I think it was the Divrei Chaim. Was speaking at a bris. He asked him to speak at a bris. And he started speaking about Inyanei Shabbos. Somewhere in the bris, he started talking about the Kedusha of Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos. And he's painting this magnificent picture of what it means for a Jew to immerse himself in the Kedusha of Shabbos, and to feel the presence of Shabbos in our lives. Yeah. I don't remember, he may have even ended like, you know, his drasha, like, Gachavis, you know. I know where it's written up, I have to double check the exact nusach of the story. It was said that shortly afterwards, you know, like a half hour later, two of the grandchildren, or relatives of the Divrei Chaim, showed up with their towels at the mikvah. And they got to the mikvah, and it was closed, it was locked. And they're trying to think, why is the mikvah locked on Erev Shabbos? How can the mikveh be locked on an Erev Shabbos? Everyone goes to the mikveh Erev Shabbos. Even if you don't go every day, Erev Shabbos. How can the mikveh be locked? And then all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, it's like Wednesday. They were so caught up in the drush of the Divrei Chaim, when he's talking about Shabbos, that they thought it was Shabbos. They went straight to get ready for Shabbos. You know? So I feel like you read this piece, like, you have to go blow a shofar after this. What does this have to do with Chodesh Iyar? We're in Chodesh Iyar now. What does it have to do with anything? So he writes in the next paragraph, "Laheir malchuso gam b'mekomos hachoshech." That line sounds a little bit like what we've been learning. To illuminate the dark places. To be able to what? To be with Hashem in all situations. Now we're back to David HaMelech. Who's compared to the moon. Let's read. Let's see what we got. Lo'odia u'lashmiya b'chol makom tchilas malchuso. Rav Saadi Gaon writes in explaining the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, Lo'odia, to make known, ulashmiya, and to declare, b'chol makom, in all places, tchilas malchusa, the beginning of his kingdom, to crown Hashem as king, to start at the beginning, and to crown him till the end, from beginning to end. V'inei la'achar, kol la'amor, after everything that we've just learned, chaver, don't miss it, please. V'inei la'achar, kol la'amor, I'll ask you, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, our Rebbe, who if you're in Eretz Yisrael this summer, you should go visit him and say thank you. Stop by his house and go visit him. Say, thank you, Rebbe. We've been learning with you every single day. V'inei la'achar kol ha'amor lepelahu shedavchacha kodosh u'miyuchad zeh Rosh Hashanah. After this description of Rosh Hashanah that he spent the last 40 minutes working on, I can't understand, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, how could it be that such a glorious, exalted, illuminated day, yachid hu bein kol moedei Hashanah, it stands out, it's unique, amongst all of the Yom Tovim, in a way that's surprisingly negative. When are most Jewish holidays? The middle of the month. What does the moon look like in the middle of the month? The Jewish people compared to the moon? Illuminated. So how could it be that we have a holiday of such great significance at the beginning of the month, when the moon is completely concealed, or more or less completely concealed? V'adavar ta'un bir. On the day that Hashem's kingdom is being renewed, such a day of renewal, the moon should look as beautiful as it does at any point in the month. And that's not what it looks like on Rosh Hashanah. Kibachol Chagei Hashana, this Karm Batorah, let it be at least equal to the other Yom Tovim. Celebrate the 15th, the middle of the month. Va'am Yisrael Domun Lilvana, and the Jewish people are compared to the moon. And this is the day where the Jewish people are at their best, Rosh Hashanah, full strength. So why are we being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over a dark moon? I think I'm going to call this year Crowning Hashem in the Dark. Crowning Hashem in the Dark. V'dafka yom zeh nemar b'chesel yom chageinu. David HaMelech says, David HaMelech who knew how to crown Hashem in all situations, David HaMelech says, b'chesel yom chageinu. The Gemara Darshan, Shrizeh Lamdu Chazal, Shu Rosh Hashanah, Chag Shachodesh Miskasabal. This is the Yom Tov, where things are what? Where the moon is what? Where the Chodesh, where the moon, where the renewal of the moon is still in a state of what? Of covered, of concealment, of hiddenness. B'kesel Yom Chageinu. My good friend and Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Yehoshua Rubinstein Shlita, always likes to point out, that B'kesel Yom Chageinu is Gematria 240. Chageinu is spelled without the Yud, if you look in the Pasuk and tell him. 240 is Gematria Amalek. 240 is Gematria Suffolk. Right? On a day of Vada, Havada Shemo Kainti Lasso. How could it be? B'kesel Yom Chageinu. A darkness, a concealment, a confusion. At a time of such clarity. B'kesel Yom Chageinu is Gematria Suffolk. There's no Suffolk on Rosh Hashanah. If there's one day I know anything, it's Rosh Hashanah. I have that clarity. So why is Hashem hiding, so to speak, on a day where we're trying so hard to recognize Him? And explains to Yaakov Meir Shechter, it's Pashut. Because that's what it means to be a Yid. This is the training course we've had for the last 2 weeks. The training course, I don't know if we get a certificate. I don't know, I could speak to Rai Kalinsky, but we get a certificate of some sort, put on your resume. There's a training course in life we've had for the last 2 weeks. V'yesh Lomar, he says in the bottom paragraph, Ha'hezber b'zeh, de'adar abba, dafka b'yom zeh, shenidrash me'imanu lam, lichol yisbarach. You want to crown Hashem when it's clear as day? That's very nice. But are you willing to crown Hashem when you can't see Hashem? Are you willing to crown Hashem when it's not so obvious? On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah is the most obvious day. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hinting to us that there's going to be times when you don't see me. It's very similar to another great ceremony in our history. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Kabbalah Satorah. Nasa v'nishma. Why are you putting a mountain over our head? Tosfos' question, Shabbos Daf Peches, why are you suspending a mountain over my head? This is Gevaldik, we're so inspired. Very nice. Says the Baal Shem Tov, and what's going to happen in a couple months from now when you're not inspired anymore? You're still going to do it. So as we're being Mamlech Hashem with that clarity of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says there's going to be times when I'm hidden, and I want you also, especially, to be Mamlech me over you in those times. I have to be concerned and worried that crowning the king should be truly a complete crowning of the king. To crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the places that are hidden and low and concealed. And if I can crown Hashem at the beginning of the month, when the moon looks pretty shvach, corresponding to the Jewish people, can Hashem be my melech on a bad day? Can Hashem still be my melech when I feel like I don't want Him to be my melech? Can I still choose Him? He'll always be my Moshe. He could always dominate me. Al yidei tokef and kfiyah, like we saw before. But can I choose Hashem on a bad day? Lamlicho gam al makomos she'ein roem sham ki mastar v'choshech. Can I crown God in the dark? Turn the page. The final paragraph. V'im anu machrizim sham Hashem melech. If in that dark place I can still cry out from my dungeon, Hashem, you're always going to be my king. No matter where we find ourselves, you're always with me. We can be in the hell of Auschwitz. Yeah, or we could be in the Beis HaMikdash. You're my God wherever I go. Zos hi ha'amlocha ha'shleim b'yoseh. That's really being Mamlech the Melech. V'zeh inyin ha'kesa v'Rosh Hashanah. And that is the concealment. That is the secret. That's the hiddenness of Rosh Hashanah. To be able to continue to believe and to scream out, HaMelech, even if I don't see anything, even if I find myself in the dark. That that if I just have faith and I have nothing else, no understanding, if I'm the Berditzer for a year and a half, or from David HaMelech for how many years? 22 years he lost his Ruach HaKodesh. But I continue to believe, and I'm able to say it and to mean it, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch, Li'olam Ve'ed. And I remind you the remez of the Bnei Yisachar. What's the gematria of Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch? Past, present, and future. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch is gematria Mashiach. If you can say Hashem Melech, if you could say Hashem Malach, if you could say Hashem Yimloch, Ha Yehovah V'yiyah, past, present, and future. It's gematria 358. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch. Not as it's spelled here with the Vav. Yimloch doesn't have a Vav. Hashem Yimloch, Yimloch is 100. Yod Mem Lamed Chav is 100. It's 358, it's gematria Mashiach. Okay, Ein Zei Gam Kein HaMitzvah Rishona B'Tchila Sama'es La'es Kabbalah Z'Omach Hushmaim B'Mitzvah Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. And in a microcosmic form, we do this every 24-hour period. Because how do we begin our nights? The first mitzvah of the night, I don't know, davening Maariv. Kabbalah Z'Omach Hushmaim, saying Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Jewish day begins at night. You understand what that means? Had a nice conversation with a fellow in the flower store on Erev Shabbos. He asked me, he said, what time, not Jewish, not American, what time is Shabbos? He says to me, what time is Shabbos? So, I knew he wasn't asking because he was Jewish. And so I said, do you have a lot of Jewish customers? He said, yeah, I have a lot of Jewish customers. So I said, Shabbos always comes in around, you know, when the sun goes down. That's when Shabbos starts. So if you want to know when Shabbos is, it's always around. Oh, I didn't know that. So I said, yeah. I said, the Jewish calendar day really starts at night. We start Shabbos at night, and then we go tomorrow the whole day, and then it ends tomorrow night. Oh, he asked me, you spend the whole day in synagogue? No, I said, we go, there's a longer session in the morning, the afternoon. Shal Shiddus. You know, why does the Jewish day start at night? Why is the foundation of every day night? That's the foundation. If I can be Mamlech Hashem, if I could start off with the community, if you're just going to say, oh, I'm going to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad by day. Hashem says, oh, Shkoyach, very nice. But if I can start in the dark and say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, if that Kabbalah's Omach Hashemayim can be the beginning of my everything, as Rabbi Yaakov Eir Shechter concludes the passage, what's the first Mishnah in Shas? Me'eim Asai Koren Es Shema Ba'arvin. As the Rebbe of Zusha, I believe, and other tzaddikim said, not me'eim asai only from when do we say the nighttime Shema, but with a sense of eima and yira, with awe and trepidation, me'eim asai, with a sense of awe and fear, I'm able, despite all my insecurities, to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So then you're really a yid. Then you've really been mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the world. I just want to end for the day by sharing with you very quickly a pshat that's found both in the writings of the Rizhner, of Yisrael of Rizhn, and also the writings of Rav Meir Shapiro. Okay? The Rizhner is quoted, Rav Yisrael of Rizhn, passed away in 1850. Rav Yisrael of Rizhn is quoted by our Rebbe from the other day, the Yismach Yisrael. The Yismach Yisrael, in his writings on Sukkos, in Oschav Tes, quotes the Rizhner explaining a pasuk at the moment that, and I'm going to allow the Rizhner to speak first because he was older than Rav Meir Shapiro, who passed away in 1933, The Rizhner set a pshat and a pasuk in Vayigash that you should really know. It's a beautiful pshat. Yosef sends a message in Vayigash before Yaakov Inu comes to Mitzrayim. Yosef sends a message to his father. What's the message to his father? The message to his father in Bereishis Perek Mem Hei is Samani Elokim La'adon L'chol Mitzrayim. God has made me ruler over all of Egypt. Good news, Yaakov Avinu, good news. I'm a very successful Jewish politician. I've climbed the ranks of Egyptian government. Samani Elokim la'adon l'chol Mitzrayim. Yeah, Hashem has caused me to have great success in Egypt. You should know I'm a big hotshot politician, as if that's what Yaakov was worried about in his reconnecting with Yosef. The Rizhner, the Yismach Yisrael, in Sukkos, Oschav Tes, quotes Mahari Mirizhn, Yisrael of Rizhn, who explained the pasuk as follows: Ki lechora ech yitachin sheYosef shalach besura tova kazos laavav Yaakov inu av shalom.
Who cares? Tell Yaakov, you should just know that in my time in Mitzrayim, I opened the first kol in Mitzrayim. Oh, now you're saying something. What's he saying? Samani Elokim la'adon l'chom Mitzrayim. What's the pshat? What's the pshat? So the way the Rishna read the pasuk, no. Yosef was saying to his father, no, you have to understand. Samani, right? Sin, mem, nun, yod. Samani means what? Som ani. I have placed Elokim la'adon l'chom Mitzrayim. Ah. Oh. I've taught all of Egypt about God. Samani Elokim la'adon l'chom Mitzrayim. I have taught the Egyptians that there's a God in the world. Psh, very good. That's the first thing everyone needs to know. Bereishis, Bar Elokim. The first thing you need to know, Bereishis, the first thing you need to know is what? Is Bar Elokim, that God created the world. So Yosef was saying, I did open the first Chabad house in Mitzrayim. I was a shliach in Mitzrayim. Samani, som ani Elokim, la'adon l'chom Mitzrayim. Okay? That's the pshat from the Rishna, more or less. Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, who lived a very short life, extremely short life, he passed away in 1933. He was born in the late 1880s, 1887. Died way too young for a person of his kochos. Chaval. I mean, Hashem obviously felt that shlichus was done. And his voice is still heard in every Daf Yomi shir around the world today. But Rav Meir Shapiro from Chachmei Lublin, the Lubliner Rav, as they called him. Rav Meir Shapiro in the Imrei Das, which is a collection of his writings on Chumash, in the Imrei Das and Parsha of Vayigash, takes the Vart one step further. With this we conclude. The Imrei Das says, what happens when Yaakov meets up with Yosef? They fall on each other's necks and they're crying. What does Rashi say? Aval Yaakov lo nafal atzavere Yosef lo nashko. Yaakov didn't hug Yosef, he didn't fall on his neck, he wasn't crying. It was Yosef who was crying. Amar Abuseinu, Shayakore Kriyashma. Nu Chaver, can you figure out what he's going to say based on what we just saw in Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter? Kore Kriyashma. What time of day was it? Why is he saying Shema? He just arrived at exactly this man Kriyashma. If it's time for Kriyashma, Yosef should also be saying Kriyashma. And after 22 years, you don't want to hug and kiss your child. What's going on here? So explains Rav Meir Shapiro. Yosef told his father, Samani Elokim Ladon L'chom Mitzrayim. The pshat from the Rishna. It makes sense that Rav Meir Shapiro would say a pshat from the Rishna. You know why? He doesn't quote the Rishna. You know why it makes sense that he would have had this Mesorah? Rav Meir Shapiro is very connected to the Rebbe of Chorkov. The Chorkov Rebbe, Chorkov is one of the six branches that came from Rishon. Six worlds of Hasidus that came from Rishon. One of the children of the Rishna was the Rebbe of Chorkov. So it could be that he picked it up. He says, Mamash, the same words. Som ani es Hashem, she'el ladono kol eretz Mitzrayim. He told his father, good news. Som ani Elokim ladon l'chom Mitzrayim. Gevaldik news. I'm really making an impact in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, we do Rosh Hashanah every day in Mitzrayim. They know about being Mamlech, the king in Mitzrayim. The true king, not Paro. The king of all kings. Says Yaakov Avinu back to Yosef. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What was he saying to him? The first thing he said to him, before he even touched him and hugged him and kissed him, after 22 years of separation, he says to his son, Ki ein dai bezeh bilvad. It's not enough to be mamlech Hashem over Mitzrayim alone. Ela yesh lahamlech as Hashem al kol ha'olam. You need to work harder to what? To make sure not only in Egypt they know about God, but that the entire universe should know about God. The truth is maybe Yosef did that during the famine. Right? It could be that when everyone came to Mitzrayim, and they came to Yosef, and he's distributing sustenance to people, maybe he was distributing. Maybe he was distributing godliness to everyone. You need to crown Hashem over the whole world. Shalkach ba lahoros lano apasak arishon b'kriyashma. That's what first pasuk of Kriyashma is. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And I think about all the directions of the world and being mamlech Hashem over the entire Bria. The Shiva Rakiyim. The Dalid Ruchos Ha'olam. That's Yaakov's response to Yosef. Good start. Let's go weiter. And that's Rosh Hashanah. That's every day of our lives. To be mamlech Hashem over the entire olam means every person, the olam katan. In the good times, in the bad times, the ups, the downs, to be able to say that when the moon is obscured, the Jewish people compared to the moon, afal pichein, I'm still going to be mamlech Hashem. I'm still going to coronate the king with shofars and festive meals And I'm not going to stop believing for one second in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in my life and in the world, even b'kesel yom chageinu, even amidst the sveikos and the amalek and the doubts and the insecurities and all the fear, me'ema sai, with the ema, with the fear, karin es shema ba'arvis. I say shema in the dark. I crown Hashem in the dark. Okay? Ad kan for today. Shkoyach. Various sodistic stuff. Remember these shirim for your lives.